laid. His clothes were there, but he was gone. The stone was rolled away. The angel said to Mary there, why seek him among the dead? Go tell the world he is not here. He's risen just like he said.
Turn to number 138. Okay, we'll sing. That's always helpful. 138. Christ arose, right?
Amen.
Jesus, my Savior,
prayer. Well, the sandwich it is in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, first of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died upon the cross for our sins. And thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you and to celebrate this day. And we ask your hands on the preacher that will preach the gospel, and that he would be used in a mighty way. And Lord, prepare our hearts for the message, that if any of us that needs you, that will come to your knowledge and your honor. And Lord, help us as we go out through this day. And all these things that we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Enjoying the service so far today. Glad to see you in church. I said all the time, but I do mean that. And I got that visit from Washington State, from Hunape, and from Alaska, the Burley family, three of them at least. They call them the three amigos. And one of them looks like he's got a beard growing on, so he must be recruiting off. He's an adult right now. And so, and also, keeping up a visit with you, is that right? Yes, and glad to see you back there. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but we're glad to see you back there too. Let's see. Special music today, and of course we're emphasizing the resurrection of Christ. And I want you to know that our president declared today to be Transgender Day of Visibility. Let me read that again to you. Our president on Saturday declared March 31st to be Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, I'm not trying to damper what Easter is all about, but that's what he declared. It's been going on for 15 years prior to this by some activists, and so he's made it an official day today, of all days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're nice people. We're gentle people. But stuff like that just fires you up.
Amen.
Just because.
Right.
Now, this is an election year. Now, whether you want him to be in or not, or they want Trump to be in or not, or the other guy to be in or not, I'll tell you something. This country needs help.
Yeah. Amen.
It needs spiritual help.
That's right.
And so we Christians have a part to play in all of this. I don't know what you think about voting or anything like that, but you ought to vote. If you can vote, you ought to do that, and not just sit back and say, well, they're all the same. Yes and no, but I tell you, to declare today, March 31st, as Transgender Day of Visibility, just puts it over the top.
Amen.
We used to be requiring anyone who had a political office in America to have a testimony of being a Christian.
Right. Right.
It used to be that way. You were disqualified unless you had a testimony that you know Christ as your Savior. How far have we fallen in just a few years?
Right.
It doesn't get any better, but we need to have a part in at least turning the tide a little bit, all right? Now, we're not going to bring the kingdom. We're not going to do that. The Lord's going to bring it when he's ready for doing that.
Right.
But at least we can have for our kids and grandkids a little bit more sanity in this society that we live in. So, whatever you think, I'm just telling you, that is just awful. That's bad. That's bad. The cap of B-A-D. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that, because this is Easter Sunday. It's supposed to be a happy day.
Amen.
I'm happy. But I'm fired up about that. That is really disgusting. All right? Now, I'm saying that because we're taped. I mean, in spite of us being taped, I'm saying that because it is. Oh, how I wish that our president would at least honor the flag and honor our military and honor our heritage as a Christian nation. That would be a blessing.
Amen.
Right? Okay. I wanted to have you all say something to Miranda. So if you can face the camera this way and y'all say Happy Easter, Happy Resurrection Sunday to Miranda. She's at home with the sister. It was hoped that she would be here today. And I was telling some folks that she might be making it. And she almost got to make it. Last night was a rough night, got up about four times throughout the early morning, and so I want you to say, let's say Happy Resurrection Sunday to Miranda, okay? So the word's going to be this, When I say go, we're going to say Happy Resurrection Day, Miranda. Can y'all do that? Let's practice that. Let's practice that. Ready?
Happy Resurrection Day, Miranda.
Okay. For real now. Ready? Go.
Happy Resurrection Day, Miranda.
Did you get everybody in there? And Angie?
And Angie.
Don't forget to get me. It's me, your husband. See you in a little while. All right. Okay, so those are some of the announcements. We have a baby shower coming on the 14th for Emily. Now, I had put the Pierce name wrong. It's my fault. I spelled it wrong. I put P-E-D. I know it's not P-E-D. You probably didn't see it. You were still sleeping. But anyway, so that's coming up. So ladies, I hope you can participate and be a blessing to her and her newborn baby girl soon to come. Okay? Let's see. That's all I got to say to you. We got some music to sing some more? Okay, I'm going to step aside. Give us some good songs here.
You're not going to say something about the food?
Oh, yeah, Paula got the church. Francis is a real fisherman. One time went D.C. fishing, I didn't go. I let them go. Brother Frost was with us. They caught some fish. You know what this man did? Now, thankfully, he's not bringing that here today. He ate a fish that he had just caught. He took a video of it to torment me. He got the fish just caught. I know, savage.
It's a beating heart.
You need to be saved.
That was good.
That's not good. Okay, but thankfully, we don't have that here today. A lot of good hot stuff will be here. There's some Spanish bread that Larry brought. Now, I'll tell you, the Spanish bread, don't eat that because it is too buttery, it is too warm, it is not good to eat. All right, now, so I would advise you don't eat that. Now, I made spaghetti. It's in the first crock pot, the light colored. I made the spaghetti. It's got a special ingredient in it. You're going to love it. Okay? It's the first crock pot there. So, my spaghetti, I made it. It's so good. Special ingredient. When you eat it, I want you to tell me, come up to me and say, it was great. Okay? All right? It's so good. So stay after church. We'll lock the door so you can't escape. You won't have to eat. All right. We'll have some water from the kitchen here for you to consume and wash down your good food and especially the spaghetti. But remember, leave alone the Spanish rolls. Leave it alone. Yeah. Okay. All right. Those are the announcements. We're glad to see you in church today. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is what we call Easter. We know what that means. And so don't let anybody spoil it for you. Enjoy the day worshiping the Lord. We're glad you're in church together.
Yes.
And let's just be a blessing to the Lord today.
Amen. Okay, we're going to sing 132. Oh, no, we're going to have a special. I'm sorry. The Change Family Plus. We're going to have a special. Thank you. let's sing 132. Don't be nervous. Looks new to you. It's an old tune. The lyrics about the resurrection is set in.
So that's what's going on. So don't judge me too hard. All right. One fate-filled day, 2 millennia ago, one man was chosen, his life to forgo. He willingly agreed, but prayed for reprieve, that his life may be spared from the torturous deep. Bowing his head, and his heart too, he cried to his father, "Thy will I must do." Then betrayed by a friend, with the sign of a kiss, something so sure no soldier could miss. At his mock trial, he was falsely accused. When witnesses lied, their testimonies were used. Finally, it was said, blasphemy is his sin. The people had spoken, the verdict was in. Next would come the cat of nine tails, to tear off his flesh with every flail. Living through this, when many a man would die, those who knew and loved him could only ask why. For he had healed the maimed with withered hands. He healed the lame who could not stand. So why take the life of a man so good? Surely he was just misunderstood. But alas, it was not meant to be, for no way could man be set free. No other way could man be set free. Then on the cross where all hope would be lost, he gave of himself, his life was the cause. And as he was dying, creation called out. The sun was darkened in all lands throughout. The earth did quake as it was displeased. The rocks did break and the world so distressed. The veil in the temple was torn in two, but proof of redemption was still not through. For what good is a savior if he is dead? How could anyone believe what he said? But that's not where our story ends, for he revealed himself unto his friends. When 3 days later he rose from the grave, fulfilling prophecy of the promise. He could save. And this is the good news for us today. We have a Redeemer who has led the way. And by simple faith in Him, we too can be saved by Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good. Amen. Thank you.
The verse that goes along with this is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. One more song there. One more song. Let's sing Hebrews 1:32. Let's all stand one more time.
Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, in Sunday school with this scripture, we'll come back to it. If you were to tell someone this is the gospel, if you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, I want to tell you today that the gospel is in three parts, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, this is basic information that you should know already. But this is what the gospel is. And people give all kinds of definitions for the gospel. But this is the gospel. We talked about the death of Christ this morning. We talked about his burial. Now I want to talk about his resurrection. Now, of all the three aspects of the gospel, all three are important. But you cannot have a living hope if he just died. If he was buried and he never got out of that grave, what hope do you have?
Right.
You have no real hope. It's a make-believe hope. It's a fantasy. It's not real. It's Hollywood. It's plastic. It's cardboard. It's a prop. It's not real. You have no real hope unless he rose from the dead. And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. Why do we believe in the resurrection of Christ? I know why. I know why we believe in the resurrection of Christ. Because the Sunday school teacher said so. That's good enough. Oh, I know why we believe in the resurrection of Christ. It's because your mama and your daddy taught you that when you were young. They read the storybook, the color picture book, the illustrated book, and that's why you believe in the resurrection of Christ, because of that. Oh, no, maybe it's because your parents dragged you to church and made you sit and listen in church when you heard a sermon about the resurrection of Christ. Maybe that's what it is. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Could that be the real reason why you believe in the resurrection of Christ? What about this? What about I believe in the resurrection of Christ because my friend said so. Listen, when your friend says something, it's got to be true. Right? It's got to be true if your friend says so. Oh, no. Maybe it's this. Maybe because the church said so, so you believe it. Well, what are the reasons to believe in the resurrection of Christ? Are these the reasons to believe in the resurrection of Christ? I think you better have something better than that.
Right.
I think you ought to have something a little bit more concrete. Don't you?
Amen.
No, somebody say amen besides you.
Amen.
All right? You've got to have something more concrete than that. Something that's got to be more solid than that. Not just because, oh, I saw it on TV or read it in a comic book or somebody. No, no. It's got to be something more real than that. It's got to be because the Bible says so.
Amen.
Because the gospel is from the Bible and the Bible says so. Thus saith the Lord. That's why you believe, and I believe the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Now, if it is based on the Bible, you can stand on that.
Right.
If it's based upon what somebody says, well, that guy could change his mind. He could persuade you to change your mind. Well, that's not any good. Well, fundamental to the Christian believing in Christ is that he died, he is buried, and he rose again from the dead. That third part does it for everybody. That third part is what really does the job. It seals it because he rose from the dead. Now, I want to give you some evidence. There's some proof that he rose from the dead. I'll give you about four. And I want you to know that these bits of evidence from the Gospels and from the book of Acts is to tell you that there is evidence that he rose from the dead. It's not just because your friend said so. It's not because your mama told you so. It's not because you are supposed to just believe that without thinking about things. It's not that at all. It's because this is the gospel witness. This is the evidence that he rose from the dead. Now, the more important an issue is, the more proof you better have, the more authorized it is, the more authentic it is, the more this is the official record of something. You don't want to put your life upon, base life upon something that's not official.
That's right.
Okay? You want to have it official. This is what makes it official, because the Bible records it like that. First of all, the reason I believe in the resurrection of Christ is because of John chapter 20. Now, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll take time to read some of the references in the Bible verses. It's okay with you, isn't it? Okay. Have you been spoiled by TV ministries? Have you been spoiled by smoke and mirrors, and dancing, and people coming down from the chandeliers, swinging in, coming in, big advantage? Have you been lulled to just depend on what they say? I think it's best for us to see what the Bible says, don't you?
Amen.
Amen to myself. John chapter 20. The first reason why I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because of this scripture. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved. Who would that be? That'd be John. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. I didn't know there wasn't a race. It just so happened. Peter, probably pretty fast. Maybe he's older, but you know, John just was, he loved the Lord so much that he was excited, and perhaps he wanted to get there first. Verse number 5, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, verse 6, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, what is going on here? They get to the tomb, they go in, the stone's been rolled away, they see something, and then they don't see something. They see the garment, the material that covered him, wrapped him up, and it's in the shape of a man's body. But the body's not there. It's not 3D, it's flat, it's one-dimensional. It's lying there, and the body's gone. Look at verse number eight. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw it and believed. Now the reason I believe in the resurrection of Christ, the literal body resurrection of Christ, because when they came to the tomb, the grave clothes were there, but the corpse was not there. The corpse is gone, the body's gone. It's been taken away. Now, in Luke chapter 24, don't go, but I'll tell you that when the women came to the tomb, those three women, they were confused because, first of all, they thought that the stone would be there. They got there, oh, how are we going to move? But the stone was already rolled away. And then they came in, there was two angels there, and they didn't see the body there. So they were confused because there was no body there. I believe in the resurrection of Christ because the body was gone. Good news comes from an empty tomb. Good news comes from what they could not find. All kinds of things I'll not get into as to the reason why they explain away the missing body, but all of those things do not have any weight, no credibility, because he was guarded by Roman soldiers. So just in passing, I want you to know that I believe in the resurrection of Christ, and so should you, because the body was missing. The body's gone. There's a big problem here, ladies and gentlemen, if they found the body. If they found a fingernail off of his right hand in the tomb, we have a problem, Houston. Because that means he did not rise from the dead. But thank God, they found nothing there except the grave clothes, which means he left. He left, he took off, he went to where he's supposed to go. And so John 20 tells us that he saw and believed. And people talk about the Shroud of Turin and all that kind of thing. That's another day, it's another story. But now, that's the first bit of evidence that we can hang on to and say, in court, I believe in the resurrection of Christ because the body is not found in the tomb. That's a heavy weight bit of evidence. Number two, let's come to John chapter 20 and verse number 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now here's a fascinating, rare, strange, supernatural event. They're in the upper room, they're in a room, the doors are shut, they don't want to be found out, and all of a sudden stands in the presence of these scared disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what they saw? Can you imagine this scene? They're huddled together like scared chickens. And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Well, that is alone itself pretty strange. To have a locked door, and they're praying, they got the head down, they're talking. All of a sudden, here's Jesus standing right in front of them. Wouldn't that shock you? Wouldn't that scare you? Wouldn't that spook you? Wouldn't you go, whatever you would say? My wife, she scares me at night sometimes. I'm at my desk, I've got my little lamp on. I don't like to have a lot of light around me when I'm at my desk. I just like a light to illuminate my desk area. And I'm minding my own business, doing something. And then sometimes she'll come out down the hallway And she always used to have this white robe, cream color robe. And she walked like this. She thought I was in bed sleeping. She walked like this. And I'd catch her the corner of my eye and I'd go, ooh. And she would say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. She did scare me. She looked like a ghost, a holy ghost. And I'd catch her, and I said, don't do that. And I'll get my hair in my arms, which I don't have sticks, so I stand up. And I get scared for a moment because I'm caught off guard. I'm surprised. Now, when he showed up, he was not like that at all. But it didn't compute to them. They were confused as well. Because here, how could somebody come through a solid door? You can't do that. Now, Jennifer were to ask you to walk through this door without it being open, would you do that?
No.
Could you do that?
No.
If you try, you're dumb. Because you cannot walk through that door unless it was open.
Well, I was a Marine, so.
Well, the Lord is not a Marine, okay? How's that? We belong to the Lord's army, but he came right through. Now, how do you imagine that, except Hollywood can produce an image, graphics, computerized, going through, beam me up, Scotty kind of thing? Now, don't look at me like you're all spiritual. You've all watched Star Trek or the TV sitcom, right? You all have. Don't look at me like that. Bunch of hypocrites.
I've never watched Star Trek or TV.
You probably watched Looney Tunes too. And The Roadrunner, haven't you? I won't ask for a show of hands, but you folks are all guilty as I am. Walks through that door. I can imagine him walking through that door. And he's standing there. Now, a ghost, an immaterial being, thing, entity could come through the door, but not a physical being. Well, look what happens here. In John 20, in verse number 19 and 20, he comes in right through the door, stood in the midst, and spoke to them, peace be unto you. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands, and he sighed. Then were the disciples glad when they thought they saw the Lord. Look at verse 20 very carefully. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands, and he sighed. Then were the disciples glad when they thought they saw the Lord. Now look at that verse. I'm trying to emphasize something here. When they thought they saw the Lord. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Now, if you agree with me, you're not listening. Your mind's somewhere else. Then when the disciples glad, when they thought they saw the Lord. Now, I need some response out of you. You need to show some reaction here. That's not what it says.
No.
But that's how some people mean this to be. That they imagine they saw him. They're so concerned, so, and they were hallucinating. They thought they saw him coming through the door. They thought they saw him in their midst. No, it says they were glad when they saw the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, how did they know it was the Lord? Well, very simply, because when he walked through that door and they saw him, they went, and then they stopped and they were, it's him. Now, question. How did they know it was him? How did they identify him as it was him? How did they know it was the Lord? Well, they knew the Lord for about 3 years. And now they see this man standing there. This man standing there. He is a person, but he is a man that stood in front of them, among them. This man, not this them. So you don't get it, do you? This man stood before them, and they recognized him because what they saw was someone they saw before the crucifixion.
That's right.
They saw the Lord Jesus Christ who was discipling them, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, this can't be him. He was crucified. We saw him crucified. We scattered, and now he's here? How can that be? The point is, I believe in the resurrection of Christ because he physically showed up alive after his crucifixion. After he was buried, he showed up alive.
Amen.
They saw him. This is evidence. This will stand in the court of law. This is irrefutable. This is infallible proof. In the upper room, verse 20, he says this. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Well, that's something physical. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They saw the physical Jesus Christ. Not a representation of him, a spirit in the form of a man, Were you reached to him and you went right through him? No. He said, look, look at this. Look at that. Look at this over here. Can you imagine their expressions? Can you imagine being there? Can you have an imagination when you read the Bible? Have an imagination and be there, eavesdropping. Be someone hiding and looking at the disciples, the expression when they saw Jesus alive after his death. What a moment that was. You ever been speechless? They were speechless. And he did all the talking. Peace be unto you. Showed him his side, his hands. And then they were glad. They were convinced that it was him. They had evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They had hope. They had probably forgotten that he said these things, and they did. But when they realized it was him, they were glad.
Right.
They were glad. They were happy. Overjoyed. Overjoyed. You know, my brother who started to come to church last year, for almost a year before his health kind of put him on the sidelines, he told my wife, he says one Sunday, he says, I am so overjoyed to be here. I'm so overjoyed to be here. Well, I never heard him say that word before in my life. I'm so overjoyed to be here. They were overjoyed to see him.
Yeah.
They were glad. They were glad. That's one reason. Another reason why I believe in the resurrection of Christ. Now come to verse 24. In the same chapter, verse 24. Thomas is absent. Thomas is not, quote, in church at this time. But now a week goes by. Look at verse 24. And by the way, let me explain to you that it's always good to be in church. It's always good to be in church. You just don't know what you miss when you're in church.
That's right.
Right.
Amen, amen.
Nice.
You just don't know what you miss when you're in church. I appreciate friends of ours when they're away from their home church, they come to church when it's a sun or it's a wind. I appreciate that. That tells me a lot about what they believe. Thomas was not there that first evening. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, where was he? Who can tell where he was? Maybe it was a sunny morning and he went golfing. I don't know. Maybe he went fishing. Whatever he wanted to, he was not there. You can use your imagination. The fact is, he was not there with the rest of the disciples. Well, now he's there. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust man into his side, I will not believe. Well, 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 what a man. What a stubborn attitude he has. Maybe he's just naturally living up to his name, Doubting Thomas. I don't blame Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. I just think Thomas wanted to have some proof. Maybe he didn't want to be wrong. He just wanted to be sure, perhaps. I don't want to be wrong. If I'm going to believe something, I want to believe it because I'm convinced I should believe this.
Right.
If I put my name on the dotted line, I want to be convinced that this is the right thing for me to do. I want to gather all the information I can and then make a decision. Not get only a part of the information. I want to get the whole thing before I commit myself to this financially or in other way. In otherwise. Thomas maybe was like that. Don't know, but I know one thing. That's what he said. I'm not going to believe unless. Now, he's almost putting a demand. He's almost requiring evidence to believe. A long time ago, decades ago, Josh McDowell put out the book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He may be one of the first apologists around that was contemporary and made a lot of sense, appeals to the college students and so on. And he had several others later on that really have taken his mantle or taken up that torch and run with that thing. And so all good stuff, all good ministries. But now, verse number 26, after he said that, verse 26, we saw him. No, you didn't. Well, look, you folks think you saw him, but for me, as for me, I'm not going to believe unless I see it with my own eyes. In technicolor, I want to see him myself. And unless I can see the prince and touch his side, I'm not going to believe. That's what he's thinking. Now watch what happens. Verse 26, watch. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then, this is almost humorous. Then came Jesus. Again, the doors being shut again, and stood in the midst again. Again, he walks right through that door, which is amazing because that means his clothes have to go through the door too. That's amazing. and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Now, Jared, come, just for a second. It's bad to sit close to the front row. Stand right over here. All right? Now, you're Jesus, all right? You just said this to me. Reach into thy finger and behold my hands. Behold my hands, the one with the band-aid. Behold my hands and reach into thy hand and thrust into my side. I be not faithless, but believing. Here's what Thomas said. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, the offer was to look at his hands, the print of the nails, look at his side, and thrust in and touch the wound. That was what he said to do. He offered him to touch his physical body. That's what Thomas was told to do. You know what Thomas did? Let's just say, and Thomas touched the wound in his side. Is that what he says?
No.
When he heard that, you know what Thomas did? He said this. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, look at that verse, please. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. What did Thomas do? Did Thomas touch his hands? Did Thomas touch his side? No, you know what Thomas did? He did this. He said, my Lord and my God. That's what Thomas did. Thomas did not touch his body because he was convinced that this person standing here in front of him was the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Didn't touch him. We believe in the resurrection of Christ because he really did rise from the dead.
Yes.
They didn't find his body in the tomb. In the upper room, came right through something material, and yet he himself is material.
That's right.
How do you explain that scientifically? I don't know. I believe the account. I believe the authorized account in the Gospels about what happened. So the second bit of evidence that caused me to believe in the resurrection of Christ is that Thomas, who saw him, did not take him up. He just fell to his feet, my Lord and my God. Oh, by the way, other times when people fell up before people, they were denied doing that. One time, Peter came to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius is so happy, the man of God has come, he bows down before him, and Peter said, oh, don't do that, get up, man, I myself also am a man like you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when Thomas fell before the Lord, you know what the Lord says?
Stay down there.
He said, all right? He accepted his worship because he's the Son of God. And he's the only one that was legitimately able to receive a man's worship. You don't worship another man, do you?
No.
You know what another man is? Just like you. Flesh and blood, foul, dirt and dust. Prone to corruption. Prone to have bad, wicked thoughts. Prone to sin. But Jesus Christ accepted his worship because he is the sinless Son of God, the Savior of the world. Very important to note that. We believe in the resurrection of Christ. I do, and I know you do too. Oh, by the way, I know one thing about people in church, members of church, of a church. They don't always believe the same thing as the church's official doctrine statement is. They don't always believe officially what the pastor believes. Let me just make it clear what I want you to understand. I believe in the resurrection of Christ, the literal bodily resurrection of Christ. Okay? The church's doctrine statement says that. Now, when you become a member of the church, you agree to believe or accept the statement of faith. I know one thing, not everybody agrees to every minute detail of the doctrinal statement. However, you must be able to agree with that and not go against that. All right? And so we hope that you will have a chance to see the truth of things and come around to understand what the Bible says and believe it as well.
Amen.
So let's not think everybody believes like we believe. But that's what we believe. We will not change what we believe to accommodate someone's whim. We'll just keep on teaching what the Bible says and practicing it. And hopefully you all understand the same thing as well.
Amen.
Fair enough. Now, I believe the resurrection of Christ because of Thomas's response, and I need more proof. Okay, we're skeptical. I'm not a gullible man. I need proof. Maybe you are too, which is good.
Now, Luke 24. Come over there with me. Luke 24. A famous event in the resurrection appearances of Christ. Luke 24. I'll skip through some of these verses in this chapter. It's an exciting chapter. It goes by quickly. But two men, two disciples, one named Cleopas, walking with another disciple from Jerusalem. They're going home. They're leaving Jerusalem. Come to verse number 13. 24:13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, maybe 7 or 8 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, the crucifixion of Christ. And it came to pass that while they communed together, that's called fellowship. A lot of times, whom you fellowship with influences your value system, influences your spiritual outlook on life, influences your walk with Christ. Be sure you are careful who you fellowship with. And they came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, it appears he came out of nowhere. How could this be? Well, remember, when he walked through that door, he had a same body, but it was different. He was glorified. He was changing his composition, but he's still physical. How do you understand that? I don't know. But I know one thing. The devil one day will be chained with a chain into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's a spiritual being, but he's chained with a chain. How do you understand that? I don't know. But a spiritual being chained with a chain makes your mind go, himo no sabe, me no get, me not figure out. Maybe you're smart enough to figure it out, I don't know. And so here is the Lord showing up all of a sudden, like that. Well, these two guys are engaged in deep conversation about the events of the day. Maybe they didn't notice it, I don't know, but I kind of take it like this. He just showed up. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, verse number 16. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where have you been? Have you been in a hole somewhere? You just wake up? Are you Rip Van Winkle? Who are you anyway? Don't you know what's been going on? This is the talk of the town. What is going on? Well, everybody knows what's going on. Tell me. Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? This is humorous. The Lord has a sense of humor. What do you mean? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were disappointed, deeply disappointed, that the Messiah, the king, didn't show up. That's what they're telling the Lord. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found out his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. What? O fools, and slow of heart to believe. You mean to tell me he rebuked them for not believing what he said, what the scriptures say? O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning, now you talk about a Bible study, a deep one, but a fascinating one. And he beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a day that must have been. As they walked toward this Emmaus, and he began to first the Bible study with these two, they're walking and talking. Can people walk and talk nowadays? Well, no, they walk and do this. Most people do it nowadays. Downtown Honolulu, you gotta be real careful because people walk up the sidewalk, off the curb.
And then, you know, all kind of things happen. Prabhupada says, I see it happen every day. I see people walk around, they're so focused on this device. They say this, the shortest distance between two points is good company. Right now, as they're walking toward Emmaus, Jesus shows up, he walks with them, he talks with them, he teaches them. They had good company. That long 7-8 mile walk was a short one. It was a fascinating discussion about the scriptures, about himself. What a lesson there must have been. Beginning in Genesis, coming all the way through, prophecies, shadows, and types about himself. He says, that's about me, that's about me, that's about me. He explained it to them. What a Bible study that was. Can you imagine if you're a fly on the wall or a cricket on the side of the road listening to all these things? You say, whoa. So interesting. And so he clarifies to them, he confirmed to them, to the two disciples, what the scriptures are about and how it foreshadowed and predicted him coming and him dying, him being raised from the dead. You know, I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ was the master teacher. The master teacher. He taught, I wish we could all, who are teachers, could teach like how he taught. Made it so clear, so simple. He got down to their level. He taught them things that they needed to know. Didn't just teach them things that is way beyond them, but he taught them things that they need to know about himself. Well, as they move along, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward Eden, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Now, I find something very practical here. I find that when he confirmed who he was according to the scriptures, I find that they were not satisfied that he had to leave. They wanted more. They wanted more. Stay with us. Can you stay with us? Look, you're going to have to sleep somewhere. It's already getting dark. You can't be walking at night over here. I mean, good night. It's not too safe. And he says, they say, why don't you stay with us? Maybe he said, I'm not sure about that. Oh, please. No, I got to keep moving on. Would you please stay with us? They urged him to stay with him. I find that very interesting, that how when the Lord is visiting you, when he comes to you, when he gets hold of your attention, you know what some Christians do? They can't get enough. They want more.
That's right.
They got a taste, now they want more. They want more. They wanted more. And the Lord accommodated them, and he gave them more. And then look at verse number 30. It came to pass as he sat and meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he, no, really? And he vanished out of their sight. How does that work? He vanished out of their sight. They're sitting there, they're eating. Oh, by the way, he's eating with them. They broke bread. They're sharing a meal. He's eating and he's drinking with them. How can a spirit do that? Can you appreciate the evidence that you're looking at? You believe in the resurrection of Christ, not because your mother told you, or the teacher told you, or you read it somewhere, or you heard it somewhere, because a friend said so. You believe it because the evidence shows that he was a real living man in the flesh who actually can talk, can walk, can communicate, and he could eat like a regular man. That's pretty amazing.
Amen.
That is evidence. That's right. Proof that if you believe the resurrection of Christ, you're not wrong. You're right.
That's right.
And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of sight. Just like that. Just like he showed up, he just left. They're eating. And they said, man, did you hear what he said? Yeah, that's awesome. And then they couldn't believe it. But they believed it because it happened. Now look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? In passing, I want to tell you this. The Lord, as he explained things about himself in the scriptures, they were so excited about that in the right way. We use the word excitement in a very commercialized way. Come to church. You'll have an exciting time.
Come to this event. It'll be so exciting. You won't want to miss it. You know how things are advertised. You won't want to miss it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. They said this in response to him teaching them. Their hearts burned within them. Inside, in their soul, they were so caught up with what he was explaining to them from the scriptures. Wouldn't it be good if people come to church and they get like that? Or when you read your Bibles at home, you get like that too. I do wish, without even knowing this to be true, but I suspect it is because my heart's like your heart, that when you read your Bible at home and you're having your own time in the Bible in prayer, sometimes it's just a matter of, oh, okay, I'm supposed to read this over here, okay. All right, well, okay, I'll check it off, bye. That's how we take things sometimes. It's very robotic. It's very routine. It doesn't fire up the inside. My wife, she has a devotion book she uses every day, and she has a past scripture that she reads, and sometimes she'll tell me what she reads. She says, oh, that was so good. Just the other day, she said, that was so good for me to read this, whatever she was reading. And her heart was burning inside of her. It'd be good if our hearts also had the same, quote, feeling, the same, quote, sensation, the same kind of response to the Word of God as God reveals truth to you. Have you ever felt like this when you read the Bible? Oh, I never saw that before. But wow, look at that. And I connect this to that. And you ever felt like that? That's a good feeling. That's a good sensation. That's a good response to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's illuminating your mind and your heart, and you get our hearts burn within us. Now, don't be looking for the emotion that burns within you. Don't be looking for that all the time in church, because many times in church, you don't feel that way. I mean, many times in church, you just come out of duty, responsibility, and routine, and habit, and along the way, God throws you out a morsel and a crumb over you, and you get a blessing from that. And sometimes your whole, you know, I'll get a blessing like that, but normally, you don't feel like that. But every once in a while, it sure feels good when it does happen.
Amen.
Some of you Presbyterians over here, and some of you Methodists over here, every once in a while, you'll feel good when you read your Bible. Every once in a while, you'll get a little bit excited when you get to church. You might even do this. Amen. You might even do this once in a while. Now, when you do that once in a while, you're really excited. And when you do this, amen, you're really enthusiastic. I like to see that. I must confess to you, my travels to the South for several years, has started to pick up on Southern churches, and I do like the emotion of a Southern church with some moderation to it. I do like the response of people. Southerners respond almost routinely on a prayer request. They'll amen a prayer request. Yeah, train wreck, amen. I think they're kind of carried away sometimes. Yeah, Boeing 777, super thing, you know, tanker, cargo ship, ran into the bridge in Baltimore, amen. Praise the Lord. We get kind of mechanical like that, kind of routine, but it's not always like that. But in church, I've been in place in black churches. I like being in black churches. They're expressive. They say funny things in a black church. If you've ever been in one, you never forget it. If you ever preached one, you never forget it. I was preaching in a black church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they introduced me as they're praying to God, Lord, we thank you for bringing your manservant here today. Manservant? In a black church, manservant? God, we thank you for bringing our manservant today to give us your word today. I never heard that before, manservant. And in church, I'm just saying something that's very simple, introduce the message and so on like that, and they're amening everything. Then you get to preach a little bit, you're kind of excited. You get excited because you're responding, you're feeding off of the people who are getting excited too. And they say funny things like, you tell the truth, yeah. That's right. And they'll say amen. They're very expressive. And I kind of like that. Now, I can't make you become like them because you're not them. But I sure like when you show some life in you.
Amen.
Every once in a while. Where was I? Oh, their hearts burned within them. Now, I believe the resurrection of Christ, and so should you because of the evidence that we are seeing from the Bible. Come to Acts chapter 1. We will soon wrap this up. Acts chapter 1. Another reason why we believe in the resurrection of Christ is because of the timing, because of the duration of which he exposed himself after his death, in his resurrected body, in his glorified body.
Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself sort of alive. He showed himself alive after his passion, his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs. Now that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about evidence that is so rock solid. It is beyond any reasonable doubt that he rose from the dead.
That's right.
I gave you one at the tomb, couldn't find his body. I gave you another one, which was in the upper room. He came through a solid door that was locked shut. He came again through that door. He came again to that door, and he stood before them, and he offered Thomas to touch his body on the road to Emmaus. Four witnesses now have said the Lord showed up after his crucifixion, alive. That is powerful proof in a court of law.
That's right.
You can't say, well, he's just making it up. Say all you like. But the evidence, the fingerprints, the footprint, the forensics show that he is alive. You cannot refute that. The tape was made, the video is there. It's not AI, it's what he said, it's what he did. It's evidence. Now, in verse number 3 of Acts chapter 1, many infallible proofs being seen of them, that's evident. They saw him. 40 days, the duration, a month and 10 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom, he spoke to them. This spirit spoke to them. No, this man spoke to them. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, gave them instructions, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, oh, by the way, 1 Corinthians says that up to 500 people saw him at one time. That's kind of a number of people that are testifying in court. One after the other, the jury's going like this. Okay, next, okay, 499, okay. 500, okay. Same thing, they're going to say, they saw him, they heard him. They're going to say the same thing. After four, we know what's going to happen. At 12, and 24, and 36, 100, they say the same thing. We saw him, and they give testimony of what they saw and what he talked about and how they asked him questions. He answered them. Okay, now we're going to go to 400 more. Same thing. Well, in verse number 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, when will thou bring this kingdom and so on? And he said in verse 7, now, verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. So the Lord, when he ascended to heaven, this is so fascinating, this is so Hollywood-like, but this is real. They were talking with him, they asked him a question, he answered the question, 40 days and 40 nights, he's alive with them. You cannot make that up. The time comes in this, send back to his father where he came from. And he's talking with them. All of a sudden, he rises from the ground. He's a foot off the ground. They think, oh, what magic trick is this? What a magician that can do these fantastic visuals. He rises from the ground, a foot, 3 feet, 10 feet, 12. He rises up, and he's still talking, and they're looking like this. They're shaking their head. They're watching as he goes up, and he goes up, he goes up, and finally they get a crooked neck, and he disappears into the sky, into the clouds. They're like this, gazing in the sky. Angels come by and kick him in the side, say, hey, what are you guys doing looking in the sky for? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. So this is all about evidence that he rose from the dead. 40 days, 44, and now he's going to go up in a literal body. They see him go up and disperse into the clouds. Going to come back again, second time, the same way. Now, folks, I want you to know very plainly and very simply today, we're not going to blush the story. We're just going to tell it for what it is. The plain truth and nothing but the truth. That Jesus Christ really did die. He gave up the ghost. He was really buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead, like the Bible says, like he said, like he predicted. And he walked upon earth, and he showed himself to his disciples and to others. And then he ascended to heaven.
Amen.
That's the story. That's the account of the resurrection of Christ. We believe it because it is true.
That's right.
After all of these centuries, no one has ever knocked that story off the shelf and say, I found proof that this is a lie. They have tried. They have tried to prove this is a lie. They've all come back with You know, we got to come up with something. Yeah, maybe it's a Russian collusion thing. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's something else other than just accept the plain fact of what it says historically. They just will not bow their knees to Christ. They just won't do it. The haughty, cocky pride of man will not allow him to intellectually accept the truth historically that he died and he was buried and he rose again from the dead. They won't accept that. It's not an intellectual problem. It's this problem right here. They just cannot bow the knee to Christ. So prideful, so stubborn, so satanic-like, they can't believe. But for the average person who's got common sense, who's got reasoning, we can look at the evidence and decide, they have to conclude, it is true. He died. He is buried. He rose from the dead. No question about it. The only one thing we can do is to bow my heart to him and receive him as my Lord and Savior. The only thing I can do is that. Now, I'll tell you this morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I'm not sure why it is you have not. But I'll tell you one thing. Now, please listen carefully. I'll tell you one thing. If you receive Christ today as your Savior, that's the best thing you can do because it's the right thing to do, because it's the truest thing you can do. You put your faith, your simple faith in Christ, he will save you. And one of these days, you're going to end up in heaven where he went to.
Amen.
Before that, your sins will all be forgiven and wiped away. You have a brand new slate.
Yes.
Not only that, he'll be with you every day. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's what he said for the disciples. That'd be true for you too. You are going to get so much out of being saved, you won't believe it. You cannot understand it when you first get saved, but as the years go by, you're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I got saved earlier.
Right.
I missed out so much by getting saved when I was 30 years old. I waited until I was 25, 26, 40. I waited until I was 55. I was such an idiot to believe my friends, believe the media, believe the world, believe their education, believe their philosophy, the science. I was such a fool to believe them over what the Bible says. And the Bible had the evidence. If I just put my faith in Christ when I was younger, I would have had a whole life to live for Christ. Now I've got just 10 left, or 15, or 3. I don't know. The thief on the cross had moments to live. That's all he had. But you're not the thief on the cross. You're living today, right here. You're in church on Easter Sunday, March 31st. You have a chance to live, to have a life living. You have a chance to be saved. You have a chance to live for Christ from now on. I don't know what age you are. I don't know who I'm talking to exactly. What I'm telling you is this. There's solid evidence that Christ rose from the dead. And he offers to save you. But one more thing before I finish. Not only are we happy about the resurrection of Christ, it has some serious implications because he rose from the dead. You know what those implications are? Now, I need you to listen very carefully. The serious implications of him rising from the dead is that one day he'll be your judge. Now, in John chapter 5, I want to come back to John 5. Just listen to these verses. John chapter 5, and verse 24 through 29. I'm going to end our Easter day service with these verses. I think I would be derelict to not mention these verses today. We need to look beyond how glad we are that he rose from the dead and look at some of the things involved with it, and this one thing is this, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. 29. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Interpretation, verse 29. They did them good unto the resurrection of life. If the best thing you can do that's good is to receive Christ as your Savior. When you do that, you will be raised one day at the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them to meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be at the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead will rise. The bodies will come up no matter what state they are in. And we will unite with them when we rise ourselves. Now, the second part of verse 29. Then they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, there's another resurrection. The resurrection at the rapture. Resurrection at the great white throne judgment. That one there. That's another resurrection. When all the dead from Adam, their bodies are in the ground. Their souls went to hell already. The soul is not in the grave, ladies and gentlemen. The soul went to an eternal spiritual place called hell. The bodies went to the ground from Adam. And so now the Lord comes back and the Lord calls up in Revelation 20, the dead will stand before God, the unsaved dead, and they'll be judged. All the works will be revealed and evaluated, not for a second chance, but to see for the benefit of the one standing before God when they have received Christ. Because they'll be arguing with God, I don't deserve to be here. It was wrong for you to send me to hell all these days, and now you're going to send me to lake fire. That's not right. Look, I got saved. I believed in Christ. Let's do the book. The books are open. The books are open. Let's see now. Okay, what day did you say you got saved? Okay, let's go see here. Go look it up. Okay. Okay, and location? Okay. And how old are you? I'm sorry, it's not there. Now, listen to this. You get another date? Another day? Another place? Maybe you got mixed up. Think carefully now before I send you to look. Think carefully. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry, it's not there. You know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me. And so, those are the two judgments that's going to happen because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So it's not all pleasant. It is serious because it involves judgment to come. For the Christian, judgment for rewards, not for possibly losing yourself. You can never do that. But it's for rewards. Faithful service on earth. For the unsaved, I think it's a chance to give, it's to give them a chance to argue with God, and they can never say to God in eternity, you're unfair. When they go to lake of fire, they will always have to say, yeah, he gave me a chance to plead my case, and I just wasn't saved. Two resurrections. Because the Lord did rise from the dead. He'll be the judge. Now, will you go here? Or is he going to be here? It's going to be one or the other. One or the other. Jesus said, because I live, you should live also. If you put your faith in Christ, you're going to live too. He could raise his own body from the grave. He sure enough can raise your body from the grave too. He sure enough can change your composition of the body, the physical body, at the rapture, like he walked through those doors. Like he vanished. He can do that too at the rapture. I'm not worried about the technicalities or the science of it. I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. It's called faith.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, today you are saved or you're not saved. Today you have accepted Christ or you have not. Let me tell you, if you've not been saved yet, accept him today. Ask the risen, living Son of God, Savior of this world, to save you today. No matter what anybody says, your friends, I wouldn't even think about that. I just come to Christ today. Get that settled. Make sure that you belong to him and he belongs to you. Simple faith in Christ. Would you like to be saved today? Would you like to have him as your Savior? Would you like to go at this resurrection instead of this resurrection? Now, while you're looking at me, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but if you know that you're saved because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you know that. If you have a doubt in your heart, why don't you make sure about that? Make sure about that. Let's bow in prayer. Father, this morning, I want to thank you for the truth that we have reminded ourselves about. We've reviewed it today. It's just been a real reminder, that's all. Nothing spectacular, nothing fancy, nothing. It's not even extravagant. It's not even along that line. It's just telling the truth about what is real, what is true about the resurrection. It reminds us that we need to be saved. It reminds us that if we are saved, we've got the best of both worlds. But I'm praying about people today who may not be saved. I'm thinking about people who have religion, but they don't have Christ as their Savior. They have a form of godliness, but that's all they have. They have religion. They've been brought up in it. They even believe in God, but they have not received Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that if someone is like that today, I appreciate them being in church, but they need to be saved. And I pray that you would touch someone's heart today through the word of God that was given, and they would come humbly to Jesus Christ in faith for personal salvation. Now, before I close the service, if you have not yet made sure Christ is your personal Savior, I urge you today to make today your day of salvation, to turn to Christ in faith. I want to emphasize again, it's not because of your religion, it's not because of your parents' religion, it's not because of your heritage, it's not because of tradition. You get saved when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that today, like to be saved, would you just simply raise your hand that I may know, that I may see? Pastor Ching, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to be sure that I'm saved. Would you please remember me as you pray? And I'd like to talk to you or talk to someone about that today before I leave. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? Father, I'm not going to push it. You know the hearts of everyone here. If they were listening, it was reasonable for them to respond. And I pray today that we who are saved would rejoice that we know Christ as our Savior and live for our Lord. We thank you, Father, for this good day. No matter what happens around us, it's a good day because of who we know. And then, as we're about to dismiss for the service, I do ask for your blessings on the food and fellowship to follow. Father, today is a great day because we know you. Give us some blessings as we spend time fellowship with each other. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the instructions. Children and parents first in line. Begin over there, work with this way. The rest of you go after.